Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 12th day of November, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Stay the Course. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda, Kumriambith. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And at the website, we have the Daily Mail page set up for you, where we have links to various articles dealing with current events, health, preparations, you name it. There is also a home page, which is the first page. That's where you find information if you feel like helping us out financially. And for those who do, thank you very, very much. There's also a page called Contact Us. If you do not have my personal contact information, that's where you would go to leave me a message. Now, as we're talking about the main topic here of staying the course, remember, Richard Buckminster Fuller said this: you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, including yourself, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. What's the old model going on right now? Babylon. This whole system is upside down, inside out. And it's Babylon, which is interesting because Babylon is from the Greek, which is from Babel in the ancient Aramaic Hebrew. And Babel meant confusion. Confusion caused by what? Confusion caused by admixture. Admixture, of course, is mixing things together that do not belong together, such as Yahweh's law and man's law. This is why Peter in the New Testament says, if you have a choice between man's law and God's law, you must choose God's law. We understood that for a very long time in the history of the white race. Today, we've become absent-minded. We are Manasseh. We forgot who we are. And so we obey man's law. We give credence to man-made institutions like corporations and governments. We treat them like idols. And so now we've become idolaters. We are worshiping things made with the hands of man, such as governments, religious institutions, media, sports figures, etc., etc., etc. And our people are bowing down and giving worship or reverence to the beast system, this Babylonian system that we find ourselves in. And so I've noticed in a lot of the correspondence that I've had in recent times that many people are getting weary of the fight. And I'll have to admit, there are many days that I am weary of this fight. We've been doing this for a very long time. Just this radio show itself has been on now for just over 24 years. Praise Yahweh. When this thing started, it seems like yesterday. And now it's over 24 years later, and yours truly is still sitting here giving Yahweh's message to the world. Now, for the first time in a long time, it appears, even to me, that people are starting to get it. We're hearing platforms, various truther platforms, speaking of events, speaking of different topics, and many of those things have been mentioned here on this radio show for a long time. Many of my multitude of guests that I've been honored to have on this show, as we discuss the plight of our race and the plight of our nation, this constitutional republic. there are people now starting to reiterate the same things that we talked about a long time ago. Yahweh says that his word, his truths have to permeate through a society, much like water permeates through a sand filter. That takes time. That's why it says, you know, a day in Yahweh's time could seem like 1,000 years to us. Because time is a dimension of this world. Time does not exist in his world. That's why we cannot even conceive of this term infinity. Okay? I know I can't. Maybe you can. I can't conceive of that. My brain cannot even comprehend no beginning and no end. How is that possible? Well, that's because we're trapped in this world, and we are under the dictates and the characteristics that were set here by the Creator himself. And our brains, our minds, our consciousness has a very difficult time comprehending some of these higher spiritual topics. And that's why he said, don't focus on those. Don't spend all your time worrying about what happens in the hereafter. Live your life here as he commanded you to live it. That's why I say, stay the course. You're on the right course. If you're hearing the words of Yahshua HaMashiach, Yahweh in the flesh, then you're part of his tribe. You're part of his family. And you have a calling in this world. He sent us forth and said, be ye the what? Salt of the earth. And I'm going to remind you, when you put salt on a steak or hamburger or any other dish on your table, do you not taste it? That's why he used that analogy, because salt is just little tiny grains, okay, like you and I on this earth. We're just like little tiny grains. We don't think we affect much. And that's how come we get weary and discouraged. But when you put collectively the little grains of salt together and spread across the whole dish on the table, then there is a savor. There is a tang to that dish, correct? Well, that's the way our walk in this world should be. We may not feel like we're having much of an impact, but when you add up the works of Yahweh's people across this plane, then it becomes evident that we are here. We do have a preserving effect. We influence the world around us. Now, the problem at this present time is that many of Yahweh's people don't even know who they are. The white race is in a pathetic state of being at the present time. You take a look around at some of our people and the things they're saying and doing, and it's absolutely disgusting. We need repentance, which means to rethink, give up the evil that we do, and come back to the Father, come back to his ways of doing things. As it says here in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people on whom my name is named make themselves humble or low and come to me in prayer, searching for me. How many of our people, how many people do you know? Count them on your hand. How many people do you know search Yahweh's truths in their life every single day? How many people do you know that uphold his desires for us above those of man-made institutions? I don't know about you folks, but not too many. So he says, searching for me and turning from their evil or wicked ways. There again, how many people do you know feel bad about their evil or wicked ways? What I hear is, it's my life, I can do with it as I please. What difference does it make? I don't want to hear about what I can and cannot eat. I don't want to hear about activities. I like that little Oriental girl down the hall at where I live, and I want to date her. And on it goes, okay? Desires of the flesh that do not meet the criteria of Yahweh's law for his people. So if these conditions of my people, stated here in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if these conditions are met, then, Yahweh says, I will give ear from heaven, overlooking their transgressions, forgiving them, in other words, and will give life again to their land, restore their land, restore their being, restore the man in the mirror. You see, repentance starts with you as an individual. People say, well, what can one person do? Well, first of all, you can change that guy looking at you in the mirror. That's where it starts. Change your life. Now, do you have, like salt, do you have an influence over the rest of your family? Do you have an influence in the homes near you in your community? Do you have an influence in other areas of society, maybe down at the workplace or the people that you bump into in your daily activities? Do you influence them or do they influence you? So here again, are we staying the course? Are we doing what our Father put us here to do? Or have we just decided to pack up our suitcases and move on? Or stay hidden down in our little bunkers and allow the world to continue to go to hell. One of the old adages that I like to tell people about is the one that says, when the government fears the people, we have liberty. Does government agencies fear the people today? Absolutely not. They're spineless. They're jellyfish. But when the people fear the government, we have tyranny. And that's where we're at. The people fear, worship an idol called government, man-made government. And again, remember the word government is made up of two words. It's a compound word coming from the Greek language to govern, have control over. Ment is from the same root as mental or mentality, to control the mind. Government officials, bureaucrats, who, by the way, do the same thing day in and day out without intelligence. That's right out of the Webster's Encyclopedic Unabridged Dictionary. So a government bureaucrat does a routine day in and day out without intelligence, according to the dictionary. They don't need to have intelligence. They're just like robots. They follow whatever the, quote, program is that their superiors give them. That's why police officers used to come from the community and they had discretion. They were just there to maintain the peace. But today they're law enforcement officers. That's a paradigm shift. Okay? They went from being part of the community, just taking care of those who disturb the peace and keeping them away from everybody else, to becoming enforcers of governmental law. Do you see the paradigm shift? Okay? Just like your workplace, you used to be called an employee, like you were part of a family of sorts. And then you became a human resource. And there was a department called the Department of Human Resources. You are no more than a cow in a farmer's field with a tag hanging off its ear. You're part of the herd now. You're just a human resource versus an animal resource or a machinery resource. Your value is only when you add to the value of the corporation. As soon as you cease to provide value, you're just so much junk to be discarded because you're simply a human resource. Does that make sense? Okay. Henry David Thoreau said that there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to the one who is striking at the root. That is another symptom of our people. Again, that was Henry David Thoreau. And I remember that name from school. Maybe today they don't teach it because now we have trannies teaching and homosexuals teaching and communists teaching. But back when education was actually worldly, in the sense that you should know about different cultures or from where we came, Henry David Thoreau was quoted quite often. So he made the observation that for every one person who gets it, and he's striking at the root of our problems, which we all know has Jewish faces and Jewish names, because they are anti-Christ, anti-Messiah, anti-Yahweh, anti-anything good. So for everyone that gets it, there's 1,000 out there whacking at the branches. There's 1,000 out there waving signs in protest. There's 1,000 out there going to the voting place thinking you're going to vote your way out of this, when the enemy controls both sides of the aisle. The enemy controls the whole kit and caboodle. And you think you're going to vote your way out of it. How insane is that? What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing day in and day out and expecting a different result. And that's what we do, the same thing. We sit in front of our flat screens bitching about the world. We go down to the polling place and we cast a ballot. Same thing day in and day out with no results. And yet we're sitting there going, well, how come? I sent out 10,000 emails. How come the world is still effed up? Well, because there's no action to it. They don't care how much bitching and complaining we do. They don't care how many signs and protests we do. I was in Washington, D.C. on the fall of 2009 for the great Tea Party rally there. 2 million of us in Washington, D.C. that day. 2 million. And yet here we are 14 years later, and it's still exactly the same. Because if 2 million had come with weapons, we could have taken this country over. Because that same exact time of day, that afternoon that we were all in Washington, D.C., in other major cities of America, there were 7 million other patriots in the street. So in total, there were 9 million pissed off Americans in the streets. But you know, 9 million of us that day in 2009, 9 million of us righteous warriors, and not one politician was hung. Not one corrupt military official was hung. Not one corrupt law enforcement officer was hung. Not one murderer, kidnapper, or pedophile was hung by the neck until dead. 9 million of us, and not one of them suffered death. In the meantime, this same cabal is seeing to it that you and I are bombarded with electromagnetic forces and pulses from wireless technology. We're bombarded with serums that we're encouraged and sometimes mandated to put in our bodies, which is causing disease, illness, and death. They have no problem killing us, sending our sons and daughters off to foreign wars so that corporate America can see profits. And yeah, the Jews are the preponderance of those corporations. But we go along with it. So in 2009, there were 9 million of us in the streets, and not one person was held accountable. Do you see the difference? The enemy doesn't care if there were 19 million in the streets, as long as not one of them suffered for their behavior. Where does it say in Scripture that we are to turn a blind eye to the workings of the wicked? I wish somebody could point that out to me, because I've been reading the book for a long time and in prayer for a long time, and I don't remember the book or the Holy Spirit ever telling me my job was to turn a blind eye to evil. And yet our people have convinced themselves that it's okay to do that. Stay holed up in their house, go to work and obey the mandates, listen to the completely incompetent boobs that run most of our companies and corporations today, because they're just sycophants to the Jew at the top. And yet we follow it. We don't resist. We don't fight back. And the thing I always hear is, well, if we do that, they will destroy us. They've got drones. They've got directed energy weapons, oh, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's called warfare. And in warfare, both sides take casualties. What's that got to do with what we're talking about? See, right now, we are taking all the casualties, the good side, the righteous side, the people who see through the lies and bullshit. We're taking the casualties. They're not. When's the last time you saw one of the cabal drug out of his bedroom at night and hung in a tree with a sign around his neck that he's a traitor, a pedophile, a rapist, a murderer, a kidnapper? Oh, that's right. We're told it's up to the authorities. Nobody has a right to bring justice but, quote, the authorities. Yeah, that's pretty sweet when the enemy controls the authorities. Yeah, if I was the enemy sitting at the top of this pyramid, I would want the sheep to believe that too. Only I, sitting up here at the top, get to decide who has the right to execute Yahweh's justice in this world. Yeah, it must be pretty nice. Just like the bankers decide on fiscal policy in the United States. The bankers do. Not your elected officials, even though they're a bunch of nitwits and cowards nowadays. But even still, that's the way it's supposed to be. Your so-called elected, if we had fair elections, officials are to control the currency of the nation. Instead, it's a bunch of greedy, hook-nosed bastards called Jews sitting in their boardrooms and in their Federal Reserve banks, laughing all the way to the synagogue at how stupid and lame we are. And we are. Let's be honest. We are. We are pathetic. I guess it's the fluoride. Maybe we should have been filtering the fluoride out much sooner. I've been drinking bottled and distilled water since the 1980s. Actually, since the latter part of the 70s. So that's a long time. I figured out that fluoride was not good for me, and so I would not drink municipal water. I wouldn't drink the chemicals that are in it, like chlorine, either. They're poisons. But maybe my countrymen, maybe a lot of them did drink it. Maybe that's why, because fluoride and chlorine are poisons and they cause you to be docile. They cause you to be lame. They lower your IQ. They lower your ability to resist. And sometimes even your ability to discern right from wrong. That's why they poison us. They poison the food. Now, you got to be very careful where you're getting your food and your liquids today, folks. I'm telling you, because I've been organic for a very long time, and even the places that sell the organics today, you'd better be careful, because some of that stuff is not good for us. Because why? Again, because they are printing up digital shekels at an alarming rate. They're able to buy up the farms, including the organic ones. They're buying up the organic food stores. And once a Jew takes something over, they take advantage of the brand name. Because you assume that that brand will stay the same once the Jew takes over. And many times you're not even aware of it. You keep buying the brand because you've used it for 10 or 20 years and it's done well for you because it was made by probably a Christian organization, or at least a honest organization that wanted you to have organic food or drink. And then the Jew comes in and buys it up and does just the opposite. They adulterate it first so that they increase their profits, and eventually they use it as a way to poison you secretly. Just like who owns the packing houses where the meat is being processed? Can you answer? Oh, that's right, Jews. That's why they're full of Vietnamese and a lot of other foreigners. And I heard this from people that are listeners to the broadcast that work at these packing houses throughout the Midwest, where the meat that you eat is processed. Foreigners. Why do you think they would use foreigners? Oh, that's so the Jew can make more money. Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. The Jews will do whatever it takes to make obscene profits. However, a foreigner, especially here illegally, isn't going to raise hell about any unconscionable thing the Jew asks him to do. So when the Jew walks into the manager at night and says, I want those bags of material put into the vats making the foods, the manager at night's simply going to do it. Nobody's going to question it. Why? We haven't put that stuff in the stuff we're making for 20 years. It's a new additive. Don't worry about it. Just do what you're told. And they do it. And don't tell me it doesn't happen. I worked in the United States Air Force for a time, and I worked in the nuclear power industry. And it's the same there, too. The bosses do whatever they're told. Nobody pushes back. Nobody questions. Who do you think was behind the increasing of the corporations in this time? Who supported the idea of this fake, phony thing called a corporation for limited liability? Now, who would want limited liability? Criminals. Yahweh's people don't need limited liability laws and protection because we're honest. But an enemy does. A deceiver does. A criminal does. Why do you think immunity is given to the pharmaceutical companies, every one of them run by kikes? Where in the book does it say that a company, because it's run by notorious Jews, gets the right to have legislation made that they're exempt from liability? Where does it say that? Where does it say a select group of people can have limited liability? Somebody point it out to me, because I've read the book and I can't find it. So I need help. Somebody do that for me, will you? Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Put darkness for light. In other words, ignorance for intelligence or consciousness. And light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, for those who turn the world upside down, which is exactly what you're living in. It's an upside down world. Sir Walter Scott had this to say, without courage, there cannot be truth. Why do you think he said that? I'm not done with the quote, but just that part right there. Without courage, there cannot be truth. Why do you think that he said that? Because it takes courage to be truthful, especially in an age where people don't want to hear the truth, which is what we're in, by the way. You're in the middle of the tribulation at the end of the age. I hope you know that. Okay? And things will escalate for a bit before Yahweh pulls the end on this shit show that we're living in. So, just that, those few words, without courage, there cannot be truth, and without truth, there can be no other virtue. Why? Because you live in a sinful world where men believe they have a right to do whatever they feel like doing, and that includes women too. Okay? The nature of man is that I'm going to be able to do what I want to do, dang it. I want to eat shellfish, and I want to eat catfish, and I want to eat pork. And I'm going to go over, and I'm going to sleep with my neighbor's wife. Because I feel like it, Dan. Well, yeah, that's human nature, to do whatever you feel like doing. But there's consequences. That's what Satan and his kids don't tell you. Satan being adversary, the adversary of all that is good. And the children of the adversary, who are at the top of the heap, the Jew, who is the most deceptive and cunning of all deceivers out there. Nakash, that was said of him. He is the most cunning and deceptive because it was Nakash that led Eve into her falling away. It wasn't a snake as we know a snake, a reptile. It was a snake with two legs. Nakash, evil, deceiving, and cunning individual. And they walk in shoe leather, and they're by the millions in our society. And yet, even though they're small in proportion to the total number of people on this earth, they have great influence because of their cunning, not because they're intelligent. They are not intelligent. Do not confuse craftiness and shrewdness for intelligence. All right? They are deceivers. They're not intelligent. And here's how you know, because I've had people say, well, you know, Dan, the Orientals are intelligent and the Jews are intelligent and this. Well, bear with me for a moment. If they're so intelligent, then why do they have to steal other people's intellectual property? Why do they have to wait till the white man builds up a country and then come in and dismantle it and steal the products of that society? If they're so intelligent, why don't they do it on their own? Why don't they find a place and build it up from nothing like the Boers, the Afrikaners, the Germanic tribesmen that went into South Africa, the nation that we call South Africa or the Republic of South Africa? They went in there. It was barren. Almost nobody lived there. And they turned it into a flourishing paradise. Why don't the Jews do that on their own if they're so intelligent? No, they're not intelligent. They're cunning, deceiving, thieving, and they operate with a hive mind. Whereas our people are so independent that we don't even help one another. We would rather sit around, which I have seen in recent days, and bitch and moan about somebody not having the correct interpretation of Scripture. In fact, I got involved in a discussion of that, and I might be on a radio show very soon talking about this issue. But we spent most of the time arguing about interpretation of Scripture. And I had to remind them, how long have your Bibles existed? The answer is just a few hundred years. So what did our people do for 1600 years from the time of Christ till the first Bible show? Were they lost? Are they in, quote, hell, burning with hellfire and brimstone? Because they didn't have anything to read. They didn't have any scripture to argue about. Because the Catholic Church hadn't ordained and paid for a thing put together called a Bible. They had common sense. They had the Holy Spirit of Yahweh within them. They had the sense that we're family and will operate as family and protect each other as family and we will build together as family. They didn't have documents to sit around and argue about and beat each other up with, because Christ himself said, I give you the law. I'm here to fulfill the law. And you are to administer the law with mercy. What do white people do with the law? They beat each other up with it. And don't tell me it doesn't happen. I've lived through it, okay? I'm old enough. I've been to enough identity meetings and gatherings and feast days. I've seen it everywhere I go. So don't tell me it doesn't happen. Yes, it does. Even within this ministry, we have people arguing and beating each other up over, quote, interpretations, ignoring the Holy Spirit within you, ignoring who we are, our destiny, our past, ignoring all that. And the fact that we have an enemy within the gates, they're not at the gates, they're inside the gates. And we're still arguing over interpretation of Scripture. Completely ignoring the fact that the most corrupt organization on this earth outside of a synagogue full of Jews is the Roman Catholic Church. Corrupt from the day it started. And yet it's that same organization that brought together what it considered, quote, canon to be put into this thing we call the Biblos, in the Greek language, Biblos just means a book. That's where the word Bible comes from, Biblos. It's a book created by who? Antichrist Catholics. And yet, in the family of identity believers, we'll use this Catholic concoction to beat each other up, ignoring the fact that our racial kinship is the greatest tie we have. It's discouraging. It really is. I've spent a lot of time, and anybody that knows me knows, I've got a bookshelf over here full of English and sometimes other languages, but predominantly English translations of the, quote, scriptures, which none of you have, by the way. None of you in your basement has scrolls that were written in original Aramaic or scrolls that were written on papyrus in the ancient Greek. None of you have that. Well, no. The English version is God's holy word. Really? So this dictionary over here in French, that's wrong because it's not English? Or how about this one over here in Spanish is wrong because it's not English? And also, how come I got 50 volumes of English translations and they disagree with each other? But God inspired them all? Oh, no, Dan, you don't get it. It's the King James Version that he... Oh, King James. Yeah, King James. Yeah, a pinnacle of righteousness, King James was. Yeah. Do you see the silliness? We act like children. Do we ever stop and think hard about what we stand on? The dogma? The ideologies that we continually beat each other up over? It's astounding to me. Astounding. When Yeshua himself didn't carry anything in writing with him, he simply said, it is written. Well, who wrote it? The prophets. The prophets. And yet the people that walked with Christ, who interpreted what he was saying in their own vernacular, were told that they are the authors of these New Testament writings, many of which are by Paul. And Paul, we can have a discussion about Paul. So if you take Paul's writings out there, you're talking about just a few writings by a very few men who walked with Messiah and the recollections of what he taught. And yet you're going to beat each other up over nuances of languages from thousands of years ago. It's amazing to me. We have an enemy tearing us apart. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually, the enemy walks amongst us, and we think the most productive thing we can do is criticize one another and beat each other up. I'm not about that. And I've told people, if you want to get here and argue and debate about interpretations, then you need to tune into another channel, because that's never been my objective for the 24 years I've been here. The very first objective was Yahweh's truth, and to lift up Yahweh to our people. Number one, truth. And to be a platform for anybody that had a truth that was not getting the light of day. But it was also to lift up our people with his truth, but specifically the men. No offense to you ladies, but it's the men who need to be lifted up the most today. Because our families no longer have men in charge of them to teach the young boys how to be men. And so now we have several generations that have gone by with very few real men left. And nobody's doing the job of training males on how to be men. And so the ladies are looking and looking, where are the men? The young boys and families are looking. Sometimes they don't even know it consciously, but they're looking for leadership. They're looking for men in a biblical sense. Where are they? Malachi 4 tells us at some point we become a flame and a fire. Obadiah and Ezekiel says the same thing. At some point, the sons of the Most High, sons, not daughters, sons of the Most High, become a flame and a fire and will burn up the dross, the evil, the wicked that consume this world. I've prayed many times to live to see that day because it isn't here yet. Men don't know how to be men. Most of them act like little boys, still adolescents. They don't even know. They don't know anything about sacrifice. They have piss poor work ethic. They don't know what it means to be honest. They don't know what it means to work to improve themselves. They get by with as little effort as they can. Many of them using shameful tactics such as verbal abuse with their spouse, their girlfriends, their family members, or coworkers in some cases, because they're too damn lazy to learn it themselves. They're too lazy to build themselves up in strength and stature to show the way. We lead by example. It's what my dad used to tell me all the time. Don't tell other people how to do something. Do it yourself. Lead by example. We are commanded through scripture and common sense to guard what goes into your body, including your mind. Even scripture says, guard carefully your ears and your eyes. What you listen to and what you watch, they affect who you are. Guard carefully what comes out of your mouth. Words have power to either lift up or tear down. How many people give thought to that? I wanted to read a short part of Psalm 1, which is the way of righteousness and the wicked. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way or path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now remember, this is describing blessed men. How many men do you know fit just those couple verses? Do you know very many of them? He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Having grown up on a farm, I can tell you that the plants that get plenty of water are the healthiest. Even here in my little community, I planted a moringa tree that has grown. It's probably almost 20 feet tall now, and that's only in a couple years. Unbelievable how fast that tree grows. It went from a small 4-foot tree from a nursery to this giant that fills up my entire backyard. And it's got the moringa leaves, which are medicine for us. And it has pods of seeds, which in this culture down here, by the way, they roast them, and it's a favorite snack, almost like peanuts, because moringa is one of God's gifts to us for medicinal purposes. It's called the horseradish tree, by the way, as well as moringa. And the reason it's called the horseradish tree, because the leaves are somewhat tangy. And the root of the tree can actually be turned into an equivalent to horseradish if you wish to use it to garnish meat dishes and things such as that. And it's one of many of the plants and trees that I've learned over the last 10 years that are here by the grace of God to be medicine for us. Just as the scripture says, the herbs and the trees are your food and your what? Medicine. So again, starting at verse 3, is like a tree planted by streams of water, yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. So for you folks out there that aren't prospering, take a look at these verses and see if it applies. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Now, right now, the wicked seem to have all the cards in their favor, do they not? Because judgment has not yet showed up. The day of judgment is around the corner. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish eventually. Eventually. So what do we do in the meantime? The wicked control everything around us. I mean, let's take a look at it. You're living in hell. This is a cesspool that we live in. But remember, Psalm 91 tells us very clearly that though we see thousands fall at our left and our right, it does not come under your tent. Okay? Does not come under your tent. Again, I'm not going to read it right now. You need to get your books out and read Psalm 91. In fact, it's called the Soldier's Psalm. We all should be soldiers and warriors at this time. Psalm 91 is to be read on a daily basis as instructions for his warriors. Proverbs chapter 4. It's not that long. It's a father's wise instruction. Again, I'm going to ask, how many people on their two hands can count fathers that they personally know that would give instructions to their children such as this? Give ear, my sons, to the teaching of a father. Give attention so that you may have knowledge or truth. For I give you good teaching. Do not give up the knowledge you are getting from me. For I was a son to my father, a gentle and an only one to my mother. And he gave me teaching, saying to me, keep my words in your heart, keep my rules, so that you may have life. Get wisdom, get true knowledge, keep it in memory. Do not be turned away from the words of my mouth. Do not give her up, and she will keep you. Give her your love, and she will make you safe. What is he talking about here? Knowledge, wisdom. The first sign of wisdom is to get wisdom. Go. Give all you have to get true knowledge. Put her in a high place, and you will be lifted up by her. She will give you honor. She will give you her love. She will put a crown of grace on your head, giving you a headdress of glory. Give ear, O my son, and let your heart be open to my sayings, and long life will be yours. Again, referring to Psalm 91. I've given you teaching in the way of wisdom, guiding your steps in the straight way or straight path. When you go, your way will not be narrow, and in running, you will not have a fall. Take learning in your hands. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Again, referring to wisdom and knowledge. Do not go in the road of sinners or be walking in the way of evil men. Keep far from it. Do not go near. Be turned from it and go your way. For they take no rest till they have done evil. Their sleep is taken away as they have not been the cause of someone's fall. The bread of evil doing is their food. The wine of violence acts their drink. The wine of violent acts their drink. But the way of the upright is like the light of early morning, getting brighter and brighter until the full of day. The way of sinners is dark. They see not the cause of their fall. My son, give attention to my words. Let your ear be turned to my sayings. Let them not go from your eyes. Keep them deep in your heart, for they are life to him who gets them or understands them, and strength to all his flesh. And keep watch over your heart with all care, so you will have life. Put away from you an evil tongue, and let false lips be far from you. Keep your eyes on what is in front of you, looking straight before you. Keep a watch on your behavior. Let all your ways be rightly ordered. Let there be no turning to the right or to the left. Keep your feet from evil. Huh? Do we have many people that we know that talk to their children this way? Or do we let television, tell-lie vision, Talmud vision instruct our children on what's right and wrong? Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of Yahweh God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So what is, again, this is a conditional, what we used to call in the industry an if-then statement. So we have the conjunction, and all these things will be added to you, but there's a section first that says, but seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. See, we don't get it right. We think God is a genie in a bottle, and it's his job to bless us and give us what we're asking for, and then we'll think about honoring him. Doesn't work that way. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, and again, what is sin? Transgression of God's law is what it is. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, since we're in the latter days, we're in the tribulation period, we also know that the fall of this Babylonian system is just around the corner. That's why the wrath of the Antichrist forces is great right now. In fact, their wrath is so great, they're not even hiding their intentions. They're not hiding the intentions. They want to annihilate the Palestinians. And that's only the beginning. They're not hiding their intention to annihilate the white race because they can't control it. That's why they want it all mixed, because when you become a mixture, you're easily controlled. That's why Yahweh said race mixing is an abomination to him. Did you hear what I just said? An abomination. And if you don't know what abomination means, get a dictionary and look it up. It's pretty serious. Okay? White people today have lost their minds. They have no conscience. They have no sensibilities. They're disgusting for the most part. And again, it's because we have no real men at the head of households. The enemy has destroyed that. He's empowered the women in the feminist movement to even look with men with disdain. They don't want a man's presence. Now, I admit, we've been doing this so long now, there's very few men left. So, yeah, you're right. I wouldn't want these creatures that walk around with male equipment running my household. Most of them are pathetic, losers, cheats, thieves, imbeciles. But for the men that do it right, I would say just the opposite. Because we're coming into that portion of time, whether people want to hear it or not, where the scripture says seven women will take a hold of one man and say, please take away our reproach. And I'm not going to go into the evidences of that, but I've seen it happen already. It's happening right now because I'm in contact with what I consider some of the righteous men that still walk this earth. The only problem with it is, ladies, yeah, there are probably 7, 8, 9, 10 women to every one of those men. The problem is that the men have been so beaten down today that even the righteous men are somewhat hesitant to want a relationship with any female at this time. And I'm just telling you what I'm hearing from the men that I communicate with. They are so skeptical of the intentions of women today that many of them do not date and are not seeking mates in their life at all. At all. Strangely enough, I predicted this back when the feminist movement was being pushed on us heavily. And of course, the women all cheered, and some of the men did too, because that's all they're interested in. Whatever made women happy made them happy, because all they cared about was getting laid. Let's be honest. That's all they cared about. And so if the women were happy, they were happy. And I said, okay, for a time, you're both going to be satisfied. But the day will come, which we now see. I told him, I said, the day will come when women will try to rule over the men. And the sad part is that they will be lonely, because only a real man can fill the hole that's within you, ladies. Sorry, but that's just the way he made us. Just as we men are not whole if Yahweh is not part of our being. You see, we men have a hole in our soul as well. And the only thing that fills that hole, no amount of entertainment, sex, drugs, sports, you name it, money, no amount of that can fill the hole. It can't. You will not be happy with that great big hole in your soul. You're not going to do it until you get right with the Creator. That's the man's job. Get right with the Creator. And then he, in turn, is to teach it to the women and the children. Because they have a hole in it, in their soul, that only a righteous man can fill. That's the hierarchy that our Father put in place on this earth. And we're not living it, folks. We're not living it. I would encourage you, besides Psalm 91, that you might want to go and put a bookmark at Revelation chapter 18, the fall of Babylon. You might want to give that a look. And we'll end it all with Proverbs 23:23. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So if you're going to spend your hard-earned dollars, spend it on things that build you up, that lift you up, and not what the world presents to you. This Babylonian system is getting ready to self-destruct. You should be prepared for that. And you need, like we said with the title, we need to stay the course. Okay, what is the course that Yahweh put us on this earth for? And that is, we were here to tend the garden, to keep it. And it starts with the person you're looking at in the mirror. Then it goes to his family. Then it goes to the community around him. And collectively, it goes to the nation. Nation being, of course, people that share in common race, language, culture, heritage, history. That's what constitutes a nation. So when we say one nation under God, we're hypocrites, because most of the people saying that don't even know what the word nation means. Because you're saying one nation under God, and yet you embrace homosexuality. You embrace race mixing. You embrace aliens being part of your government. When Leviticus and Deuteronomy make it quite clear that only a racial kinsman, elders are men. A righteous elder is the only one qualified to have any position within government. When America was founded, it was founded on those principles, and you can find it when you read the Federalist Papers. And I know most of you came through public education, so you probably have no clue what the hell the Federalist Papers even are. But prior to the Constitution being drafted, the Federalist Papers were written by the people that were pro-Constitution to help explain it. And it's very clear when you read it, especially the writings of John Jay, that the Founding Fathers' intentions was that this nation would be governed by the same people that Scripture demands that the Israelites were to be governed by. Righteous, elder, white, Caucasian men. Now, does it mean every older Caucasian male is a good person? No. Or that they should be in rulership positions? No, it doesn't. But it does say that the only ones that are qualified, that you should give your obedience to, will be senior Caucasian males who are righteous in the eyes of the Almighty. The ones that do deserve that kind of reverence, that's the description they'll have. So it's not a converse thing. You can't say all white older men are capable of being leaders or even heads of households, for that matter. No, of course not. But every head of household, every head of a community, every head of a state, every head of this nation has to be a senior Caucasian male who has proved by the way he lives that he deserves to be in that position. And the other thing people need to understand is when you're in that position, it's not a position similar to a dictator or a king where you can lord over people. It comes with great responsibility, including the fact that if you do not do the job right, you are to be punished twice. Everybody in a governmental position, a position of leadership in your society, is to be held at a higher standard. Not lower standard like we have today, a higher standard than you and I even, as civilians. They are to be held to a higher standard. And their punishment for misbehaving is twice what you and I would get for the same offense. And yet, this world's upside down. These creatures that walk amongst us that claim to be our leaders and rulers are actually miscreants and cretins. And that's why we live in a kakistocracy instead of a biblical republic under the laws of God. Things look pretty bleak out there, folks. But again, he told us it would be this way, did he not? When he said there would be a great shaking in the heavens and the earth. And boy, oh boy, you look at the chemtrails, you look at this stuff they're spraying in the heavens, it means the sky. And the earth, they polluted it, stripped the minerals from it. They have not tended to this earth to preserve it. And everybody is suffering for it. This is the consequence of disobeying our father. This is the consequence of the men setting their weapons down and believing that a bunch of bureaucrats have a right to tell you whether or not you can defend yourself or your family. Or you can decide that the bureaucrats are actually antichrists doing the work of the communists and other deceivers and usurpers. When the men finally realize that we need to put our stones back in the bag and become real men again, and we need to stand up and take on this beast and destroy it, which we can do and will do, this world will continue the slide into the abyss until righteous men decide enough is enough. We were put here to have dominion on this earth, not the enemy, not those who do wicked things. And people say, well, everything's in the hand of God. Yeah, that's true. Ultimately, it is. But it also says that he works through his people, does it not? Now, I'm assuming that working through my people means my people are getting off their ass and doing something. Because if you don't, you have no effect on the world around you. And the enemy just loves it down at the synagogue, talking how the people who say they worship the God of the Bible are sitting around allowing these perverts, these criminals, these miscreants, to dominate the world. They're sitting around watching this thing fall apart and not doing a damn thing about it. The Jew loves that. He loves it when you allow his sycophants and his other tribesmen in the halls of Congress at the state and federal level, sometimes at the county level too, generate pieces of paper that go against God's law, common sense, logic, and our race. And you think you have to obey it. That's amazing. That's quite a feat. You're under a hypnosis of these people. That's why they control the media, because most of you have your faces glued to flat screens all the time. And so you're worshiping the image controlled by the beast. No, it's not an image of the beast like a devil or a statue. No, no, no. Images controlled by the beast coming across your flat screens. You give it obedience. You worship it. You long for it. You crave it like a drug. And they love it. As your world, your family, your children perish. The whole world will soon be Palestinian, by the way. Their contempt for that group of enslaved and imprisoned people and what they're doing to them is what's in store for you and me if they have their way. Just remember that. It's a dress rehearsal in the West Bank and Gaza with the Palestinians. That is just a dress rehearsal for what these miscreants want to do to the rest of the world. So you folks in the rest of the world that sit and watch all this on your flat screens, and some of you may have empathy for the Palestinians that are being murdered, or the Ukrainians that are being murdered thanks to their Jewish overlords. Ukraine's got the same problem that Gaza and West Bank do. They're imprisoned and they're under the control of Satan's kids. Same thing's happening. White men, women, and children being sacrificed to Moloch. Blood rituals. Same exact thing. So when you see what's happening to the white Christian men, women, and children of the Ukraine and what happened to the Russians 100 years ago, tens, even hundreds of millions of men, women, and children of Christian faith, white predominantly, were sacrificed, and yet 100 years later, they're doing it all over again, and you're still sitting in your chair thinking that Jewish lawmakers have power over you. Sad, isn't it? Innocent men, women, and children being butchered in front of your faces, and you got no problem with it? By Satan's kids? Bloodthirsty demons who have publicly stated, they're not even hiding it now, that the non-Jew is just a mere animal upon the earth for their pleasure. And when they get in the way, they can be exterminated just like an animal out of the pasture field, sacrificed for the good of the Jew. Quite a world we live in today, isn't it? Quite a world. Stay the course, folks. Stay in that positive vibration zone. Think positively about what's going on. Yeah, I know it's hard at times, but you're commanded to do that because you're on the right team. Our job is to wake up our brethren. Our job is to stand for truth. Our job is to stand for justice. In whatever way Yahweh gives you the power to do that, some people have many gifts. And therefore, they're able to do much and influence much. Other people are not so much, but that's okay. We're all in his army. We're all part of his army. We all have a different calling. The main thing is that you answer the calling that you personally have from the Holy Spirit. And remember, regardless of what that book that you carry around in worship says, the Holy Spirit is real time, folks. It's not 5,000 years old. It's not 2,000 years old. It's not even 2 months old. It's right now within you through your pineal gland. Communications from the commander himself. And trust me, the commander doesn't need you to have a book to understand what he wants you to do. He's talking to you, if you're listening. He's instructing you, if you're listening. He's encouraging you, if you're listening. The problem is our people let the noise of this world block out that little small voice called the Holy Spirit trying to communicate with you. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask your forgiveness for our shortcomings, Father. We have plenty. In fact, you know, Father, there's many a day I wonder why you contend with us at all. I don't know why you don't hit that great big reset button and just flush this whole world right down the toilet. I marvel that you have not done so. I look at the carnage. I look at the lying, cheating, stealing, murdering, raping, kidnapping that goes on, and men think it's okay. Why do you contend? The only thing I can think of, Father, is you said you're not a liar. You do not desert your people. And some of your people are still here. That tiny remnant that love you above all things, including life itself, who do go to that quiet place as often as they can and just shut the world out and listen as you speak to us. That remnant that get it right, that walk according to your ways and not the ways of the world. Tiny remnant indeed. You also promised that you would cut this insanity short so that all flesh does not perish. Your flesh, your remnant. I just pray that you would walk with us, Father. Continue to talk to us. And lift up those who do get it right. And watch over them. Let your hand and your angels minister unto those souls that are trying their best to do things correctly. It's a wearisome job. being a messenger of truth in this age. And for those that are attempting to do that, again, a mighty blessing is asked for. And as we go from this point forward, Father Yahweh, we ask that you would mightily bless us, walk with us and guide us, lift us up like no other can do, and help us all to be warriors. Help us all to be King David's, Joshua's, Abraham's, Isaac's, and Jacob's. Not perfect, nope, but strong in faith, having clear vision and good discernment, and knowing that we serve you in this world, and that your goals and your plan will come to the fruition as you have determined, and not these creatures that walk amongst us that are evil from head to toe. Walk with us and guide us as always, Father, and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we do ask and pray. Hallelujah.